And it is 4:32. Next up on Katie and Kay, I'm proud to announce Jill Rubin with Let's Talk.
Thank you, Riley, and hello to all our Katie and Kay listeners. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk, a show where we come together as locals and share our stories about our lives that are lived right here in the Roaring Fork Valley. I am Jill Rubin, your host. My guest today is Karen Kenneman. Karen is the public health director for Pitkin County, where she has been since 2017. We're going to get more into Karen's background a bit later, but what I want to do right off the bat is to dive into the conversations that are happening around the world, as well as being headlined right here in our valley. It's mental illness and the health of all the people, without any judgment whatsoever. Welcome, Karen, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Jill, so much for having me.
You've been in public health for some time now. Can you please talk a bit about what you're seeing in terms of increase in the amount of people maybe being diagnosed or perhaps not yet diagnosed and are really in the need of help?
Sure. So I think across the nation, we've just seen an uptick in folks that are struggling with mental health disorders or substance use disorders. And maybe it's partly because there's more awareness and people are getting more connected to services. But I also think that there's just a number of different factors that are happening within society that are just exacerbating mental health conditions. And we're just seeing that a lot of people in the Valley are struggling in a lot of different ways, whether it's depression or anxiety or higher level challenges that they're facing. And it's, just even the last few weeks, we've just seen actually an uptick in cases and real crisis situations within the community that are hard to hear about.
I bet they are. You know, one of the things that we're noticing is when I say around the world, everybody from Prince Harry down to our headline local media is talking about this. So it's an epidemic, mm-hmm. or at least that's what we're calling it, is an epidemic. Perhaps we can think of it as, you know, just a generation ago, excuse me, we didn't talk about things like this. We just didn't. So this epidemic could be a savior of some sort because everybody now is coming out. They're feeling comfortable doing it. There are people like yourselves and programs all over the world, including our community. Maybe we're feeling it so much because in aspect, we're small. Your programs that have going on in Pitkin County, can you talk a little bit about that so it really reaches everybody who's listening that may want to think about going further?
Sure. And just to play off of what you've said as far as, you know, people talking about mental illness and substance use, I think there is a norming that's happening in the community that people are feeling more comfortable talking about their own experiences or the experiences of a loved one, that we're getting to the point that it's getting a little bit less stigmatized to talk about mental health. And we talk about, you know, when you don't hesitate to tell someone that you have a broken arm, but you know, we've had this reticence to say, gosh, you know, I've been really struggling with depression lately. And so I do think that there's some destigmatizing and some further ability for leaders to come out and talk about their own experiences and to normalize that conversation. And so absolutely, I feel like that's been trending in society. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think there still is a lot of stigma around mental health and substance use disorders, and that we still have a lot of work to do as community to feel comfortable and confident and feeling like we can share our stories and ask for help when we need help. And so in Pitkin County, we've really had a strong focus on mental health. As public health, we do a community health assessment every 5 years, and we look at what are the top trends or top priorities in the community. And we just completed our assessment in 2017. And this is an assessment where we ask the community, what do you think are the top health concerns in our community? And overwhelmingly, mental health and substance use came out as the top priority. Interestingly, our second priority is affordable housing. And housing in relation to health. So that was a really interesting finding. But when we think about mental health and substance use, because it was such an elevated topic that everyone in the community is like, we have to get our arms around this, and we really need to start to think about how to do things differently, because, you know, what's happening isn't working, right? We're seeing so many more challenges people were facing. And so Pitkin County really looked at, okay, what are the services that are being provided? Where are the gaps in the services that are being provided? And did a assessment of the, we call it the mental health system continuum of care. So that's everything from prevention to intervention, which is sort of a little bit before someone might go into treatment to aftercare, because we recognize that all of those pieces are really important for prevention, you know, for keeping healthy people healthy, right? We want to make sure that people have the systems in place and the supports that they need to just not actually to have a strong resiliency and risk or protective factors, we call them. So things that help people to just stay healthy. And then recognizing when people are in a mental health system, are they getting the supports they need? Are they getting quality care? Are they getting warm handoffs from folks in the system itself? Do they know how to navigate the system? And then finally, after, if someone is, a lot of times mental illness is a chronic condition that someone might live with for a long time in their life. But are people getting supports in their aftercare? So if they went off to, West Springs Hospital, which is the mental health hospital in Grand Junction, are they getting the supports they need to integrate back into the community and be successful? And so we looked at that continuum, and we said, as a community, where are the gaps? Where are our assets? So we don't want to forget all the good things that are happening in the community to help folks and that are finding the supports they need to, we hear a lot from folks that they love nature and they love to be outside and doing physical activity. Those are all great resiliency and protective factors that we see. So how do we continue to support those in the community? And then how do we look at the gaps within that continuum and start to fill those gaps?
Well, I think as the conversations continue in the country and in our community in particular, because we are quite special in that regard, we have environmental things that could aid in all of that. It's going to evolve as the system evolves. It's going to evolve. I want to do some full disclosure here, however, to everybody. Karen is not a doctor, nor is she a clinician, but she has spent all of her career in direct contact with those that are, as well as dedicated most of her time to developing programs and finding solutions to those in need of assistance. So now that we have that out of the way, what are the differences? I think we also have to begin with the basics. We talked about you mentioned substance abuse, you mentioned depression and so forth. There must be a division or a difference. Are they illnesses? Are they behavioral disorders? Mm-hmm. Could you talk just a little bit about, so people are not putting themselves in a depressive state of mind when truly it might just be something of an addiction that they can find different kind of help mm-hmm. for?
Yeah, and I probably won't speak to the clinical kind of aspects of this, but we tend to talk about mental health and substance use disorders. And so that's the sort of the clinically term for that. From a public health perspective, we really look at any kind of health condition. So it doesn't matter if it's a mental health challenge or someone that has diabetes. We look at, we call it determinants of health. So if you imagine that there's all these different factors that might go into someone's health outcome. And when we think about health outcome, that means that we're looking at their quality of life and their lifespan. So that's sort of the way that we think about health outcomes. So when we look at all the different things that come into someone's health outcome, there's actually research that's been done. And if you can imagine a pie chart and it's divided out, and we know that biology plays a role in someone's health outcome. So their genetics really does play a role, and it plays a role in mental health. It can play a role in your if you have more susceptibility to a chronic disease. So we look at genetics as a factor. We also look at access to health care, mm-hmm. knowing that if people have access to mental health care, they're going to get treatment faster and hopefully they'll have the support that they need. So we look at genetics, access to health care, and then we look at, we call them sort of the social and environmental conditions in which we live. So we know that the environment can really impact our health. And in fact, the environment and those social factors are about 50% of our health outcome. So when we think about access to healthcare and we think about biology, those are really important. And the last part of the pie chart is your health choices. So we know that people have choice and they can decide, yep, I'm going to go for a bike ride that day and that's going to help my mental health. And so not to negate any of those other pieces of biology, choice and access to healthcare, but those social and environmental conditions are about 50%. So we look at all of that in totality and we think, then how do we start to address some of these issues? So we want to sort of address them at all of those levels. So we want to make sure that people are getting medication if they need medication to address their mental health condition. We want to ensure that they have conditions around them that really support their mental health. We want to make sure they have access to mental health services. And finally, we want to make sure that we're encouraging good choices.
If you were a leader on a panel in a hall, in a room, in a theater, and you had all these people sitting in front of you, what would be your message to them to at least take a minute and think about what they're going through and who to reach out to for their curiosity? Maybe I am going through this and I should be tested for this or so forth and so on. And second to that is age a factor, because we have been reading many, many reports on our kids in this community that are having some tremendous issues. And I know you talked a little bit about the biology, but has that got anything to do with this?
Yeah. So I'll start at the end of what you said and then work backwards. So what research does show is that a lot of folks end up, if they have a mental health disorder, it may have come on during their teens. Usually it's about 10 years later that it's diagnosed. So we do see that youth are probably, if they're going to have some sort of disorder, it might be starting to develop during that time, but then yet they aren't into a system that they can get support around until much later because it's really undiagnosed. As far as, you know, if I was in a room and I wanted to really advocate for folks, I think we find that people, if they talk to their primary care physician, that's a trusted source for them. We've been really working hard with our primary care doctors to do mental health screenings. So that's integrated into just sort of the primary care practice, because we know that if a mental health provider or a primary care provider can ask, in essence, two questions around mental health, they can let people know, oh my gosh, you know, I think sounds like you might be suffering from a little bit of depression. Then the primary care doctor can determine, you know, is it medication that they need? Is it also behavioral therapy? Like, what is the combination of things? And it's a trusted source for folks, and it's a very destigmatized place to go, right? So you're not walking into a mental health center. You're going to your doctor just like you would normally, and you're having that conversation with them. So we've really been trying to work with primary care doctors, and they've been amazing in this valley to really take that that up and recognizing that that's a way to do integrated health. And then we do have a lot of different ways that people can access treatment if that's what they need. So MindSprings Health is the community-based mental health center. They provide services on a sliding scale, so there should be no barrier to cost, which we hear a lot about, is it's just really expensive to get mental health services. And then also like Mountain Family Health, which is a health center in both Glenwood and Basalt, they provide mental health services as well. So as a primary care doctor service, they have the access to those. So those are just two places to go. We have many, many private providers that are amazing. The school districts have counselors embedded in the schools. And so really trying to get mental health integrated into all systems, even libraries and other cities in Colorado have mental health providers actually embedded in their library. So there's a really, there's some really innovative ways to get mental health onto the community to sort of destigmatize getting access to those
services. It, keep the conversations going, keep the curiosity alive so you can ask a question about yourself or your loved one or your friend or your child. I think that's how we're going to evolve. We're going to educate, 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 and then have these programs. What are your colleagues around the country saying? Are they doing, are they trying as hard as we are to work these? And second to that, you know, we're a small community, so we're very, very tight-knit in that regard. When you start going into some of the big cities and the big politics come in and the funding comes in, are you seeing a disconnect in that way? Or your colleagues are as dedicated as you are?
I think from a national and from even obviously like a state standpoint, we recognize the crisis, as you said, sort of this epidemic that's going on. And that's not really unique to Colorado. It's going across the whole country, I think, is experiencing that. What I think is unique about the Valley is that, as you said, it's a tight-knit community. People know each other. And they're like, I have people coming up to me all the time. What can I do to support mental health efforts in this community? Like, there's this genuine, heartfelt desire to make a change in the community, because there is not a, I don't think there's a single person here that either it's there's themselves, a close family member, a neighbor, someone in the school that has, that we've all been impacted in some way. And there's sort of this, I think there's a community level trauma that happens because we are all connected so well. We know each other. When something really horrible happens, the level of trauma to the community is so much greater because we are small and we're tight knit. And I think that that's unique.
And what's the answer to that? What do you want the people to know? What's the answer to that particular question? Where do I, like you said, it impacts a small community. Where do they go? Do they reach out to their local county? Do they reach out to each other? Where do they go? Right. What do they do?
Right. I mean, I think it's all of the above.
All of the above.
I think we do what we need. I think the social connection is crucial. I think social isolation is one of the, and chronic stress are some of the main drivers of mental health conditions in our community in the world. And so if we can have that social connection, if we can reduce our stress and have ways to, you know, to have fun with our friends and enjoy this beautiful place we live in, I think those go a long way. And I also think if people need more intensive treatment, you know, they can go to the providers I mentioned. They can always reach out to their local public health agency, and we can help direct them. Aspen Strong is a directory online that allows you to see providers and know where to go. So that's a great resource.
Do you see a socioeconomic factor? I know you lived in Wyoming and Alaska and so forth. You do not. You're shaking your head.
I mean, I think that's sort of what's really, it's a kind of a unique thing. We do see, so I would say that mental health runs the gamut across the socioeconomic spectrum. What we do see is health disparity. And what I mean by that is folks that don't have maybe the financial resources don't have the access to care. And so we see that disparity happening in our community. So people that are maybe financially have more security have the money then to go spend on access, and folks that don't. And if they don't know about some of those providers that are providing the sighting skills, they may not get access as quickly. And so I think there's a disparity there.
Well, it's always been said when we were talking about before the mental illness conversation, it was addiction and alcoholism. And the common thread there was it had no discrimination. It never discriminated. It was across the board. Any human being walking, you know, could be an alcoholic or addicted to some drug. So I assume that mental illness is the same thing. And it's kind of, it's heartwarming to know that. And I would like everybody to really take that in. It's not where you live. It's not what you do. It is an epidemic that's going on. But there are so many people and resources to reach out to that we're all here for you. In other words,
Yeah. And I think just being able to ask for help or to let someone know that you're struggling is okay, right? We want, you know, I would always want someone to let me know that they were struggling and that I could then help them to find the resources that they needed. I think really being open and honest about our own, you know, if we have our own personal struggles, to be able to share that with the community, our lived experiences around that is crucial, because it is being able to talk about this and being able to support people because we can openly have a conversation about it is, I think, the first step.
What are some of the other, I mean, we know on the peripheral, maybe mm-hmm. you can talk a little bit about this, what law enforcement is mm-hmm. doing, because they sure. are partnering up with you yeah. and partnering up. What is that program?
Yeah, so we have an amazing program. It's called the Co-Responder Program. It's a grant-funded program through the state, and we have 5 years of funding to work on this model that we've been working on for a couple of years. And it is this beautiful model of having a mental health provider go out with law enforcement on calls. Mm-hmm. And what really the crucialness of it is that it's really a diversion program to ensure that we're not criminalizing mental health. And so, you know, if someone has a co-occurring mental health disorder and then they're, you know, have a low level crime, we're talking about very, you know, not major things, but something really low level, that we're really getting them into the mental health system to get support rather than into the jail system. You know, we found in this country that jails have become a de facto yeah. mental health facility, which is horrible, mm-hmm. and unfair to everyone involved. And so for this program, really, that what it's trying to do is allow folks to get the support that they need with their mental health condition, keep them out of the judicial system. And it's been amazing, the synergy between mental health and law enforcement. It's really allowed law enforcement to do what they want to do and what they do best, to free them up to go back to doing more cases or, you know, going on more calls, because they don't have to do the mental health pieces, which was what they were having to do. So it's been a really powerful program, and it's just one program that we have going on in Pitkin, but really great.
It's a great program. Mm-hmm. And so then people can contact the Pitkin County Health Department, mm-hmm. and from there you would talk to them, counsel them a little bit, and then perhaps give a referral out?
So it's actually the way someone gets into we call it the PACT program, okay. Pitkin Area Responder Team. But the way someone actually gets into the PACT program is that law enforcement has already gone out on a call to meet with that client. Okay. So there's been some sort of dispatch that's happened. And then once law enforcement's there and mental health is there, then the mental health folks sign them up for the PACT program, and they become a PACT client, and they get case service, they get peer support, they get all sorts of things after that event has happened. So it's not really like someone could call and say, I want to be a part of it. It's more, it's more of that there's been a call and there's been some sort of action taken around that.
Okay, so let's try and sum it up.
Yeah.
Someone has a question. They have a curiosity. Mm-hmm. They have a need. Mm-hmm. Where would you suggest they go? Whether they're in Garfield County, Eagle County, Pitkin County, where
sure.
would they go?
I mean, they could definitely start with the Aspen Strong directory. So okay. just going to Aspen Strong website, which I think if you just typed in Aspen Strong, you get there.
Yes.
So that's just a way to like find a resource immediately. I would recommend, you know, calling up Mind Springs Health and making an appointment. If there's actually a crisis, like this is a crisis situation, there's a crisis state hotline. And that would be, first choice. You wouldn't want to wait for an appointment, obviously. And then, if they're still struggling to find the resource, they can call me on my cell phone, and I would be happy to get them to the right resource. And that should I give you the number?
Sure.
Okay. It's 970-319-8634.
Oh, that's great. So we'll have it on KDNK. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to, first of all, thank Karen very much for joining us. I want to keep these conversations going and going and going. And I'd like to close this show today with a thought. We are made up of several fairly small communities, and what affects one certainly affects many. We care and support each other through thick and thin, and this is thick stuff, people. Reach out anytime for any reason, and someone will be there for you. No need to go this alone, because you are not alone. Thanks so much for being with us today, and until next time, I'm Jill Rubin, and this is Let's Talk.
Thanks, Jill. Thank you.